How am I doing? Not well, bitch. She has evolved to that kind of office worker now. She's got little novelty mugs.
Little.
No, that's a big old mug, girl. That means she must have a case of the Mondays.
Oh, God, what am I doing? I already have headphones in. Jesus Christ.
Wow. You need another sip?
Yeah. How am I doing? Not that well, bitch. Welcome back to the Gay Power Half Hour, the only gay podcast on the internet with two gay hosts who are just like the governor of South Dakota, Christy Noem's dogs, because we're a couple of old yellers and we're about to be taken out back and shot in the fucking head with your two yelly middle-aged hosts, Casey Lai and the dog herself.
Put me out of my misery, Tony Soto!
Woof. Woof.
I never thought I would fucking feel jealous of a fucking dog murdered by a crazy right Republican.
You're jealous of the dog?
Yeah, he doesn't have to be here anymore. He is officially on to the other side. I hear they all go to heaven, you know?
All dogs are perfect. And I'll tell you this, if your dog is bad, you made that dog bad. And the person who deserves to be shot is the person who made that dog bad. Also, to Los Angeles and California in general, never to have to think about the governor of South Dakota, never to know the name of the governor of states that I fucking never want to go to. And yet here we are talking about the governor of South Dakota killing her fucking dog with a gun because she was a bad hunter. You know who else are bad hunters? Liberals. Are they going to kill us next? Come on.
Here's the thing. Well, yes, if they had their way. Here's the thing about that. That's one of the Dakotas. It's the South one, right? South Dakota.
The South one. Yeah.
Which is the worst of the Dakotas if we're pointing to either. But she made herself famous during COVID because she was famously anti all like, isn't that where Sturgis, that motorcycle fucking
the fish
thing
rally.
Happens?
Yeah.
So I distinctly remember that motorcycle club. I don't think ever closed down for COVID. I think that they held the event. So they were killing. I mean, she's been killing Republicans since COVID for sure. Like doing those super spreaders. Is that the state that has the fucking presidents on the mountain for no good reason?
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah no. See, everything she does is wrong. So her killing a dog.
Well, she didn't make Mount Rushmore in her defense. I mean, I don't want to defend anything, but she kept it up. She should have brought it down. She should have been like fucking Nikki Haley in South Carolina and be like, just bring it down. Come on. These are racists.
If they can fucking recreate the goddamned Brady House, the legit Brady House, into the legit Brady House, then they can turn Mount Rushmore back into its glory of whatever it was prior, which I believe was something very, very meaningful to the indigenous.
Yes. And now, I'm sure they made it a good deal. I'm sure that the indigenous got a good deal on their mount.
Only a little small talk. Yeah. They didn't even fucking finish that mountain. Those sons of bitches were supposed to be wearing ties. And I think they were supposed to put like Martin Luther King or something on it. So, which, you know, we know why that didn't go full.
Well, they're like
the same way we don't have a.
The problem is the rock doesn't, we don't want to like paint the rock, you know? So there's just like an inherent issue. We wanted to put Obama up there too, but I don't know. It's not the right look, if you know what I mean. So I think we'll just leave it for these four white men. I'm pretty sure those are called the Black Hills though too. So conundrum.
But the thing is like, she's doubling down. Because here's the thing. She was on the top of the VIP pick list for Donald Trump because of her right-wing shenanigans. She says everything that makes Trump's little dick hard. Like she I saw an interview with her on one of your news channels. I believe it was, you know, owned by some random Zionist. And she was coming out saying, yeah, no, that dog was bad. It was dangerous. And I was just being a mother. And yeah. So I had to put it down. And it's like, girl, because it messed up your duck hunt. Because you were trying to hunt ducks and it was scaring the ducks.
Yeah, I was trying to kill other animals and it kept me from killing other animals. So I decided to kill it because you know what I love above all things? Killing fucking animals with a gun. Okay, cool story, Mom. I remember when we put our first dog down, Barky. Barky had to go. Yes, its name was Barky because, you know, it barked. And it bit someone. And it had to go to a farm. We were told it went to a farm upstate. That's what you tell the dog. You're like, no, it went to a fucking, it went into our farm 6 feet under. And now you're going to fucking eventually eat the potatoes that grow out of the fucking flesh. And it's like, all right, Mom, come on. Now, why don't you just fucking be a normal mom and stop getting all this plastic surgery and hair extensions and put down your guns and fucking be sympathetic to us for once. We want cereal, not bloodlust.
She looks a mess, though, true. And, you know, she's also coming out and saying that she has met all these world leaders. She was quoted in the book as saying that she had met Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. Kim Jong-un. and was like, I think she said something about, like, he didn't realize I was so tough or something. Obviously, I'm, you know.
I would take him out back and shoot him like a dog.
Like a fucking dog.
Yeah.
And, since then, she's had to edit the book and take that out because it's not true. And it's like, here's the thing. Who knew that at least when Sarah Palin said that she could see Russia from her house, that if the building's tall enough, she probably could. But this bitch did not meet Kim Jong-un. She did not like stand toe-to-toe with him.
No.
She didn't earn the right to comment on his height. Like, you know, that belongs to Donald Trump. Say what you will. He is the last American to fucking go and meet Kim Jong-un and not, like, end up in a prison and starve to death and return dead.
And they found out that she didn't meet Kim Jong-un because they asked Kim Jong-un. And he said, they said, do you know Kristi Noem? And he said, I'm Kim Jong, unfamiliar with her. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's super into puns.
Kim Jong-un.
What if he was like just a little fucking walking Casey, like everything he said. And that's why so many of the Korean army gets shot because they can't keep from rolling their eyes. Every time they do, oh my God, you as a little dictator, I would be so dead. I would be so dead right now. Like,
I'd have killed you a long time ago.
Oh, his Gestapo would already be coming in here and pulling me out live on YouTube, calling me a goddamn Zionist hater.
Just stop him.
Well, listen, good luck to you, Kristi. They're saying your career is over, and I don't know that a double down.
Again, it's. Go ahead.
No, I just don't think that a double down is, I think that Americans, I think that conservatives need to be able to get back to the point where they could eat a little crow, where they can say.
You mean shoot a crow and eat it?
Not eat it. Why would you use the meat? You just shoot it just to shoot it. But, you know, it's like, yeah, that wasn't great. You know what I mean? Well, how refreshing would that be if it was just like, yeah. Well, yeah, I lied about that Kim Jong-un stuff. That was weird. You're right. That was weird.
I thought I could get away with it. The president, you know, the leader of our party is the biggest liar who's ever been in charge of anything anywhere. And so I thought, you know, a little luck and lie here. There is a white lie, too. I thought you guys liked white stuff.
My ghostwriter was like, hey, you have this little shrine to Kim Jong-un. What's that all about? Well, I really like his fucking politics. Oh, well, let's say you met him, you know.
Well, you know, she just gets real racist about it. And she's like, the reason that I like Kim Jong-un is because in Korea, they hate dogs. They eat dogs. And that's why I hate dogs, too. I killed.
Well, historically, hate
You know,
dogs.
When I served Kim Jong-un, I served him the dog that I shot in the back of the fucking head.
Historically, I do think that the lack of dogs in North Korea have to do with one of the Uns before this one who got mad that they were domesticating dogs because it was taking attention from him.
Kim Jong-un.
Now they Wait, isn't Un one?
No, he would. No, it was Kim Jong Il, Kim Jong Sun.
Yeah, first that's one like Roman like numerology to me, honey. Why, it's just all X's and ones to me. I don't know.
Well, that's not how that goes. That's their name. Like Un is the first name. Il.
Don't
like,
tell me about fucking names.
Or Zhang, or maybe Zhang Il, Zhang Un. Anyway.
Anyway, speaking of
that's us being culturally sensitive to the world and knowing our stuff. Called us knowing our stuff.
Speaking of turmoil, so here locally, you know, there was this movement started on college campuses, Ivy League college campuses. I think, wait, didn't I hear Dartmouth was the smallest college to call the law on fucking on protesters? I believe that made the news that it was
it's a very small. I don't think it would be hard to handle a protest at Dartmouth. It's all everyone's very cold and just got to get them inside.
Well, anyway, so the encampments have started to break down. And where does it start? Oh, it starts here in sunny California. That is where the fall starts, here at UCLA. We had some weird moments here at UCLA because overall, the tent encampment, you know, try as they might, they really, really worked very, very hard to paint it as an evil, evil thing that was scaring folks into like crossing the other side of the campus.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that was untrue. And, you know, a lot of these things, since it's so organized, a lot of these, there are colleges out there who have like, you know, negotiated with their fucking students and have decided on certain ways, you know, development and whatnot. However, it played differently. It always plays out like Hollywood here in Hollywood. And we had a day where there was a counter-protesting movement. There was a very pro-Israel stance, and they came with the violence, and they came with the anger, and then they were trying to tear down the encampment. And then the police came, but the police still let the pro-Israelis bang on the encampments for another 3 hours before bringing anyone else in. But before the cops came in, suddenly the pro-Israeli fucking movement just dispersed and cops moved in and broke down the encampment. All for public safety. So, and then they just did it at USC like a couple of days ago. So what do you think, Case? A win for your side, huh? A win.
Well, I don't know what side you think that I'm on.
I don't know either. I never know. I mean, mine is pretty fucking, my stance is pretty clear.
I think my stance is pretty clear too.
That's why I said your side.
Wait, but you think I'm on a different side than you because I don't fully agree with everything that you say. But I'm not a pro Zionist state.
So did you think that was a weird situation, a weird turn of events? Because I was watching that live on your networks. I was watching it on the CNN on the intranet. So I was
what
watching
do you mean my people. CNN because it starts with a C for Casey, MSNBC for Casey. I don't watch these news shows.
You watch those corporate newses and don't say like, okay, you like the one that whispers to you. I'll start watching the one that whispers to you. But basically they're owned by the same folks. Let's be honest.
And who are those folks?
And,
oh, God.
And so I was watching it play out live. And I mean, like, there was a moment of peace. And then there came some colonization some fucking trying to, displacement attempts. And the problem left. And then the cops came in.
The
IDF came in.
You know, the problem wasn't the IDF. The problem with.
We don't know where they trained. How dare you?
God.
So I can read a book.
I'll leave your issue out of this and I'll go back into how I feel about it. And I think that, you know, there are right-wing agitators who are making everything fucking worse in this scenario, because like I can sympathize with Jewish students who feel uncomfortable, but also feeling uncomfortable is not a reason to fucking bring in a massive police presence. Feeling unsafe, really unsafe, and the people who seem to be making it unsafe seem to be right-wing agitators. And that is optically really bad. I think it sucks so much because you're absolutely right that the protests need to be happening and need to be happening. And free speech is an important thing fucking everywhere and everyone has a right to that. But it has become so all or nothing that I don't understand how we move forward on it. And it's just going to, feels like it's going to consume the country and the world. That being said, it still sounds like there is some hope for a ceasefire.
Did you see what happened in Ole Miss? Did you see?
It's hard to keep them all in.
No, it's very, very clear that the alt-right movement, is weirdly saddling up with the pro-Israeli movement. I mean, it makes sense. It's all within their books and it all comes
well, it's right
to the
wing. It's
thing.
All right wing because it's all anti-left. It's what they have in common is anti-left.
That these people that were making monkey sounds to black pro-Palestinian protesters in Mississippi are the same ones who use all the kinds of slurs to describe any kind of person of Jewish descent, Zionist or not. So yeah. when you're saddling up and when you're like next to these people and you're fucking chatting at another group of people at the same time, someone in there needs to realize that they are both equally incorrect in where they want to be.
Yeah, hate's a very funny thing because, you know, the hate clock chimes right, the broken hate clock chimes right twice a day or whatever. And
what?
Is that a saying? It's an idiom by an idiot. The broken clock is right twice a day.
I know that.
Yeah, well,
your agenda.
But I mean, like, you know, like hate brings people together in weird ways. And what people on the right are realizing is that the thing they have in common is they hate the left. And so they can fucking form on that. And I think that, one, we shouldn't be looking to Mississippi ever for an example of anything good. So I'm not shocked something fucking weird.
That's not true. Shout out to those pro-Palestinian protesters that have the fucking absolute bravery to go into a goddamn state that still has sundown towns and go and stand up for what is fucking right. You are on the right side of history. You are like, you are good trouble and you are right. So the shit that happened to them just proves that there are fucking brave Americans out there still. And when you say that it's all or nothing, that's how protest starts.
What do you want? What do you want out of it?
I want what's happening in these colleges that are actually starting dialect with their fucking students.
Yeah, I want the dialect actually to happen, 100%.
That's what I want. How difficult is it for other Ivy League colleges that have their hands just as deep in fucking Israel's pockets as everyone else's, mm-hmm. that they can actually make the, like, this is the thing. It's like, you're going to keep raising tuition rates and keep making these students pay all this kind of money. And then you're going to fucking use their money in ways that they don't want to do. Yeah. Of course they should stand up against that. Well, of course they should. What do you mean? It's not as easy as that. Like, that's the whole thing that they're fucking saying. They're like, our money is going into these things
it's not their money.
And you're fucking
it's their parents' money.
Okay. See, that's the fucking thing too. It's like, who cares? Who cares? It's still fucking $50,000 a fucking semester. Whose parents? See, that's the fucking thing too. Like, that's such a Mike Johnson approach to come out there with his fucking porn-loving, greased up fucking hands and be like, oh yeah, quit wasting your parents' money. Fucking do you just turn into a boomer out of nowhere? Like, I don't understand that. It's been like, get back to school. Like,
I'm not saying that. You just said they're spending their money, and I think it's a little bit of a lot of them are going into debt, but a lot of them are also not, especially in Ivy League schools. They're getting paid for it by their parents. That's just a fact. Okay, and don't argue that because that's just
because you went to Washington. I know. I get it. I get it. That's not my fucking world. But you know what I, you know what I do get? Good. You know what I do good? Good. They're fucking saying, fuck my parents' money. I'm still going to do this. And that,
good.
And that is fucking good.
Good. But you know, I mean, like, again, I can understand the other side where it's like, you know, people, there are, you know, like people also pay money to go to these schools and want to go to these schools for learning. And when they can't do it because campuses are being shut down and shit, like that's, you know, that's, that affects things too. And I'm not, I, and when it comes to opening up dialogue,
are you showing us your palm to remind us how white you are?
All right. A little pink. It's so light, they're even pink.
just the cutest little pink, just a little healthy pink. Pink.
Just a healthy pink. Barely worked a day in their lives. That is similar to a lot of the hands that are.
I know my calluses right are from pull-ups, which is, you know.
Pull-ups. You mean diapers? The diapers that you wear for your friends' parties?
How dare you? I went there twice. I went there twice. I went there
to the bumper, baby.
Because I knew. Once because I was surprised.
Once because I and once, twice, thrice is nice. The thing that I was going to say about the dialogue, agreed with that I want that dialogue to open up. But you know, I mean, like a lot of the presidents of the schools are saying we invite people to come and have a dialogue, and then they just come and scream at us and make all these demands. I believe that. This I believe is, that 100%.
You know, this is 100%. The thing too. It's like it's a really so it's really like, cute picture to paint. You know, but I'm going to tell you, there's a very organized fucking movement there. You want to know why I don't fucking believe that they're going in there and just fucking yelling at them? Because they have a whole media department set up to fucking not engage with instigators. Their whole fucking thing is they have like little fucking Zionist goddamn influencers on TikTok coming in there trying to get a fucking little video bite of some kind of thing where they could be like, oh I felt scared with my emboldened fucking Star of David on my chest, fucking be like, oh, I'm terrified. And these protesters are like, no, we're not talking to you. We're not talking to you. So please tell me where this fear is and why this fear is. Like,
I want like, everyone to
like,
talk to
like the whole thing is they want to be like, oh, they're not letting me cross here. Yeah, that's a protest. It's supposed to be inconvenient. Cross there. Like,
yeah.
Bro.
I
mean,
I hope it's as easy as that. And I kind of want to go down to one and see what it's like with my own eyes rather than have it be sensationalized on the media.
Just I've not even seen your news channels be able to properly sensationalize it until they went to Columbia and broke into that building and took it over in the name of the little dead Palestinian girl. And you know what? It's like, oh, another situation where we're like, oh God, we care about property more than people. Like it's like, oh, they broke a window. Oh Jesus. Oh, they fucking spray painted something. You know how quickly UCLA fucking cleaned up fucking spray paint? The media, the fucking corporate news was like, it's gonna take weeks to clean this. Fucking UCLA had every single amount of fucking graffiti cleaned up in less than 24 hours. So please do not tell me about this fucking inconvenience or how detrimental it is to the establishment of society that these kids broke a fucking window.
Yeah. Like again, I'm pro protests.
Can we talk about Kevin Spacey though before we get out of time? Because this is a gay podcast. And I want to talk about that gay.
Thank God. Something we can both agree on. Kevin Spacey is gay.
he is gay and fighting for his life.
And innocent.
Yeah.
According to the law.
Well, yes, according to so this is what I'm confused about. Because like, so he was on trial for
sex crime.
Not rape. I don't think it was like some kind of like, okay, I'm not familiar enough with the case to be like, here's what it is, but we're going to generalize.
But here's what it is.
like he was acquitted of whatever he was charged for. So, but there were 9 different men that had complaints against him in some way, like he used his power of influence.
Or as he calls them, the usual suspects.
So he used his power and his influence to, like, I don't know, maybe touch him or something or get him. I don't know what happened, but it was homosexual stuff. And I've been a homosexual for a long time in compromising situations, even as of recently, where I've been like, maybe this isn't right. So look, I understand that these 9 people might have thought that he was creepy, and he was probably creepy in whatever way. But he wants his career back because he was acquitted. So he is saying, and now see, he's being accused by a very famous person, by the Babysitter's Club gay, by the original cast of Rent gay.
Anthony Rapp. Yeah.
But he thinks because he was acquitted, he's like, I don't understand, like, why. And he's like, oh, if I was such a threat, then, you know, why did all of these studios, like, prop me up and put me, if I was running rampant? And I was like,
yeah, why did Harvey Weinstein keep giving me work if I was such a monster?
See, that's what it made me think, because, like, look at this. Like, you know, they just overturned a conviction for Harvey Weinstein because too many women complained. I don't understand. Like it was like, because he had 21 women who made a complaint.
Well, it's because none of the women who they had on the stand had, it was all in the end, in the view of the court, hearsay, because he wasn't convicted of any of those crimes. That was just, people making accusations. And
I hear that, but even Olivia Benson, even Olivia Benson says that there's a lot of fucking collaborating stories. Is that cooperating?
Yeah, no, I think that's what a fucking crazy fucking loophole to be like, oh, well, all of these women agree that it happened to them. And then because of that, that was evidence that was unfair. The fact that everyone was like, yeah, he fucking raped us.
Yeah. I mean, look, this makes me, I wonder if Danny Masterson's sitting in his prison, like stroking his fucking Scientology charms, being like, oh, I'm going to be next. Because like, here's the one thing, like when we're talking about the power of the Me Too movement.
Save me, Xenu.
We can't suddenly, like, this can't be like abortion rights. We can't suddenly, after a certain amount of time, just regress and be like, well, I don't know, I like The Ranch on Netflix so much. Let's maybe see if we can get fucking Danny out of prison so we can do a sequel with him and Ashton Kutcher.
We need one more season of House of Cards. Just one.
Now, here's the thing. I think that Kevin Spacey will get his career back. I think that
he's got the talent. Let's be fair. He's got the talent.
You know, to make a career comeback. Listen, I think my first recollection of him was that movie where he fucked that underage girl with the flowers coming out of her vagina.
American Beauty?
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, he plays a really fucking realistic creep. But here's the thing. Here's what I've learned for working many years in theater in Chicago. If an actor plays a really good creep, there is a good chance they're abusing women.
Watch out, Christopher Walken. We're coming for you.
So, like, when people are like, oh, God, that character was just so real. I mean, look, I've been around actors a majority of my life.
Yeah.
They're all a little cuckoo. You know what I mean? In the most respectful way, they are a little cuckoo.
Yes. They're really, you know, deeply in touch with their emotions. And that's not all they're deeply touching.
Sure. Well, who knows? You know, anyway.
Allegedly. I mean, you know, I think, you know, it is, I mean, that's a question. If you know, if you're canceled by society, but the law says you didn't break a law and a jury agrees, and I know you don't trust juries, but what, you know, what is fair? And I don't have an answer to that.
In closing, can we talk about something real quick before we wrap this up?
Yes.
I was watching your news stations recently.
I don't have a news station, Tony. Recently, it is my Casey News.
And I was watching it because they are, you know, your liberal stations are really eating up this Trump thing. And I love it. First of all, I love seeing the nasty looking pictures of it. Listen. They are painting it perfectly for someone who hates Trump. But
you love Trump?
No, I love watching him. I love watching him look like a shitbag, and they are fucking doing it. You know, liberal media is there. This is their moment, and I'm loving it because it's well-produced fucking shade.
Great.
But I don't know why they're trying to paint Hope Hicks in this like sentimental light, because she got on the stand and she cried.
Yeah, fuck that bitch.
And they were all like, oh, she cried. But here's the thing, and here's what I just want to say. She's trying to get back into Donald Trump's good graces. And here's why. Because if you're watching it as intently as I am, She started to cry when she was talking to kind of about in the way like, well, he didn't really know. He just wanted his family to be proud of him. Like, she was crying at a spot where we weren't supposed to be feeling sentimental feelings for Donald Trump. But that is, like, conveniently left out of the news reports. It's just like, ooh, the trial ends in tears. And that's it. Like, it's like...
Well, I was reading something where they were saying, like, she was crying because she probably realized she was hurting his case, because she was actually saying that he did know what he was fucking doing. You know, they can't have it both ways. If they want Joe Biden to have responsibility, I don't know. It's also fucked up because, like, everyone's like, Joe Biden's an old idiot / he's also a genocidal maniac. I don't think he's a genocidal maniac.
Holocaust maniac
seems to be.
Whatever. However you want to paint it, whatever.
Massacres.
I don't care how you paint it. You can paint it any way you want.
Donald Trump is either the most, in their mind, competent person in the entire world who is on top of fucking everything and is fucking saving the world. Hold on a second.
Are you taking a call?
No, I don't know why my fucking FaceTime did that. I'm sorry. That was.
Are you FaceTiming somebody?
Jeanette Talento Lie trying to call in.
Is your mom calling right now?
Yeah, she's trying to talk to me. She's like, I'm watching the live feed and she has a lot to say about it, probably. And I don't even remember.
Sorry about your friends.
What was I saying? Trump knew exactly what he was doing on January 6th, and you can't fucking say he's not, or he's a fucking idiot. And then if he's a fucking idiot who's just letting things just, you know, happen under him, then that speaks to gross incompetence. But I guess
be such an idiot and that he still wants to fucking get his way in the most idiotic ways. Because the thing is like, he's skirted everything, any kind of rules and regulations his whole entire life. So it's like, it's upsetting to see a downfall of a president who started strong, and then it's like so satisfying to watch Donald Trump just sit in those uncomfortable seats, knowing that his fucking, he has to sit in his filthy diaper for hours before he can get up and change. So it's like, I mean, it's, look, I know I come off mad, but this is a real good time for me. You know what I mean?
You're getting everything you want. You want chaos, great.
Chaos is happening. The system is being challenged. And if it makes it past this, that's going to be great. If it doesn't, that's on the establishment. So that is all I'm saying. But we've come to the end of the Gay Power Hour. Casey, tell people where they can come and see you, whisper headlines to you, tell you things.
I don't have a show on the immediate horizon, but you can find me on kcley.com _Instagram or whatever. I don't know. Is there anything I have coming up? There's some stuff. We're fun. I get booked. Book me. If you want to see me live, book me and pay me. You can Venmo me at kcley. And I'll donate it to a pro-Palestinian charity.
And make them prove it at tax time. This is going up today. Oh, yes. Learn the words, bitch. May 6th. That's either tomorrow or today. I am the Tony Soto Show on Instagram and TikTok, and Tony Soto Productions on Instagram. Oh, the judges for Learn the Words, Bitch are Nori Reed and Brian Bahi.
Oh, fine. Oh, I know Brian. I haven't seen him forever.
Until next week. Goodbye.